Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Speaking of tulpas, they even mentioned that in a 1990s movie based on the pulp fiction character, The Shadow.
I knew you were going to bring it up. Yes, yes, it's a great story.
I thought that was a really good movie, but the scripting was over the top. The art direction was superb. Alec Baldwin had that dark look in his eyes that made him the perfect Lamont Cranston. And the beginning of the film influenced Batman Begins a decade later.
I'm always interested in reevaluating the value of some of these films in hindsight. But, you know, I think what you were alluding to was Gibson seeing the shadow in his apartment, right, in Greenwich Village?
Yes.
Yeah.
Walter B. Gibson.
Supposedly.
Well, yes, you write 300 novels about a character, you're going to start seeing things. But think here also that the shadow is considered to be highly influential of Batman some years later.
Yeah, and, you know, I've spoken to enough fiction writers who tell me that they don't write the arcs of their characters so much as they basically, like, transcribe them, right? Like, the characters have such a mind of their own. I even spoke to someone who said that some of their characters would show up in their dreams, and that, you know, you try to make a character do something, and they just won't do it on the page, which is a bizarre idea to me, but it kind of makes sense. And then you have, you know, this other examples for example, Alan Moore, who supposedly encountered his character John Constantine. You know, Moore's a kind of a quirky guy, so I don't know how true that is. But you also have the Philip experiment conducted by, I believe Canadians, parapsychologists, who invented this entirely fictionalized narrative for a young boy in the English Civil War, including his name and everything. And they were actually supposedly able to manifest in a seance correct answers to their questions about this fictional backstory from a fictional ghost. So it's almost like they created a ghost, right? Which implies that there's something that we are bringing to this phenomena, and it may be something like thought, or it may be something like, again, returning to that idea from Ecology of Souls, that there's a part of us that acts with its own certain degree of autonomy.
Well, you also bring up sources of creativity. And we all know that Paul McCartney, in dreams, dreamed of the essence of songs such as Yesterday and Let It Be. Now, he, of course, is a multi-billionaire, so he's done some just great things over the years and continues to do so, continues to perform. On a very, 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 very lesser note, really lesser note, I remember, for example, dreaming sequences of a character that my son and I were writing about for a sci-fi novel, and we set it down and we wrote it out and it came out fairly decent. I can't say I operate on that level or one millionth of that level, but you see the point. I think that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of that myself. I mean, I long to be a creative writer, but I kind of have imposed some standards on myself that I don't think I can quite accomplished. So, but having said that, you know, I have had moments where I come up with a connection or I realize a connection while I'm dreaming. And, there's been some research. Some people have actually claimed, if memory serves, some quite proficient people in their relative disciplines have claimed to be able to practice whatever they need to get better at in their lucid dreams. So you'll have like a tennis player who practices tennis in their dreams, which sounds kind of exhausting to me, but I mean, what do I know? I'm not getting better while I sleep, so I can't really knock on them too much.
Well, I obviously would love to be able to do that. My back would feel better. I know I get some back pain when I walk. And it's not worth to me taking the medications needed to get rid of it. I might visit a chiropractor and see what he can do. But the point would be here, it's better to put up with a little bit of achiness than the substitution or the alternative.
I mean, yeah, that would be the cruel irony, right? That you get into your dream and your back's just as bad as it is in waking life.
You can't get any better. You're dreaming. If you have dreaming, don't you have the power?
Yeah. It's, you can't catch a break, right?
You think you have the power. I can do anything. I can fly. I can go through the Stargate. I can take a spaceship. I can beam up. I can beam down. All these powers I can have because it's already out there in our culture now.
Yeah.
You know, looking along these same lines, it reminds me of a story that you have in your book, Joshua, about a woman who alleged to have had abduction experiences, who underwent hypnosis, which, you know, some people argue is nothing more than just a dream state. And the hypnotist was asking questions about the motives of the extraterrestrials that had abducted her, and she would actually pause to get the answers.
Yeah, I think if you're approaching these topics honestly, you've got to admit that there are plenty of problems with hypnosis, right? But I do think that we can kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater when we just say, well, let's not pay attention to any of it, because I kind of wonder, and this is an idea that my friend Miguel Romero, Red Pill Chunky, came up with, or at least I first heard it from him, was the idea that, you know, when the hypnotist is putting someone under, they're not necessarily remembering what happened to them, but like they're actually embarking on an other world travel in the moment, right? Like their consciousness is going somewhere and it's not a memory. It's just what's happening as they're on the couch, right? In some sort of other realm, altered state of consciousness. And again, unfalsifiable, don't know what to do with it. People do retrieve some veridical information that they wouldn't otherwise be able to obtain under hypnosis. So that might suggest that there's a reality to it. But I think it's really interesting. You know, similarly, if anybody watched the web documentary series Hellier, there was an example where they actually implanted an alien abduction in someone's head during hypnosis. So, you know, it's wild. There's also another example that Gregory Little referenced, and I don't have more information about the case, but I believe it was some witnesses in Kentucky who were asked to remember their UFO experience, and over the course of the hypnotic regression, they actually began manifesting the symptoms of the sighting on the couch. So, you know, conjunctivitis and burning sensations, et cetera. Some of which I believe, if memory serves, were actually like visible on the body. And from that you say, well, you know, yeah, so maybe there's something else going on at this other level of consciousness in these hypnotic sessions and hypnotic regressions. And it starts to ask bring up a lot of questions about things like stigmata and dream injuries, which are pretty common. You know, people will have dreams that a demon attacked them in their dream, and they'll wake up and they'll have 3 scratch marks on themselves. Or, you know, there's an example that I found of a Scottish witness who got punched in the teeth in their dream and woke up with like a bloodied mouth and some teeth missing.
It kind of reminds me of the TV series Evil. U-SPAN's CBS went to Paramount Plus and became even more grisly. And you have scenes like that where people seem to have a dream, but the dream has a connection to reality.
Yeah, and it's also, again, I keep on going back to these ancient traditions. It's so congruent with that because, you know, our ideas of werewolves transforming, like a person transforms, is not really what werewolves were. And they were either administered through psychedelic substances or witchcraft or whatever, but oftentimes was understood as someone's soul leaving and either inhabiting a wolf or becoming a werewolf all on its own. And injuries inflicted on the werewolf would be mirrored on the body of the sleeper. So it's very much part and parcel with that. And then once you start playing with that idea, you have to ask yourself how many of these alien abductions are actually unfolding in physical reality, because time and again, they look so much like OBEs, out-of-body experiences.
Listening to you talk, I think about the logic they used when they created the character of the Wolfman in the 1940s. In the first film, the Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr., he's bitten by a werewolf and thus becomes a werewolf. But later on, it got more interesting, and I'll tell you how that works out. But it got more interesting where, towards the end of the series, they have this doctor who tries to diagnose what really happened to him and find a way to cure him of being a werewolf and killing people and going through all that nonsense and making films for which there's hopefully a decent box office. We got more to come with Gene and Tim and Joshua. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You can see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So in one of the House of Dracula, House of Frankenstein movies, where this mad doctor is curing Larry Talbot, the Wolfman, and he says, part of the issue here is there's some brain activity coupled with his belief that he's a werewolf creates the effect. So he's treated with a medication that cures him. But once again, they actually went into something here that I thought was more sophisticated than a normal horror film would get. Not just saying, oh, he's bitten by a werewolf, he becomes one, end of story. This here, the belief system, and it's manifesting itself. I think, isn't that a little bit sophisticated for this kind of movie?
Yeah, I always like it when these sort of strange ideas get smuggled in. My wife and I just started Outer Range on Amazon last night, and I know nothing about it, and nobody spoil it for me.
I haven't the vaguest idea what you're talking about.
It's Josh Brolin, and he's a rancher, and he finds a giant hole in his property, and strange things happen. And, you know, within the first 10 minutes, there's missing time, and the whole vibe is very, you know, Coast to Coast A.M. Mel's Hole, if you're familiar with that story.
Tell our listeners.
Well, if memory serves, again, I don't know the story to a great degree, but I believe it was a farmer or someone who found a giant hole that was bottomless on their property, and strange things started coming out of it. So I don't know if that's what they're going for, but I remember saying to my wife last night, I'm like, I hope it's not aliens, because like this is what we go to all the time now, is just aliens. And when these other ideas come in, it's interesting. And I know it sounds like I'm antagonistic towards the ETH, even in my fun time, right, my downtime, and it's not the case. It's just I feel like it's so overdone, the way that we see something that's, you know, mysterious in these films and such, and the go-to explanation is, oh, extraterrestrials. And I think the reason that we do that is because it's the only thing that we really find palatable nowadays. Like, if something's magical, well, it must be aliens, you know. So in that sense, like, you know, aliens have taken the placeholder of gods and fairies and all these other things, because it's just used as like a magical hand wave in a lot of these narratives. I've seen some stuff in some other Netflix series and whatnot. It's like, okay, can we just like spice it up a little bit of variation in there, you know.
The show is called Outer Range, and the summary is, a rancher fighting for his land and family discovers an unfathomable mystery, the edge of Wyoming's wilderness, and Josh Brolin is the star of the movie, and Josh Brolin is a really, really terrific actor. I remember when he was playing a young Tommy Lee Jones in one of the Men in Black films. You have to be on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of, I'm so hesitant to start a new streaming series now, because I've had my heart broken too many times by something that wasn't picked up for a second or third season. That's like, well, you know, I want to see something that's contained. I don't want to be left with all these dangling loose ends. So, I don't know. I've pushed myself out there, and I'm going to try to love again, but we'll see what happens with Outer Range if it gets picked up.
Well, the thing, of course, is that quite often with a streaming show, it is picked up shortly before or after the season ends. And if all the shows are up there, you could literally join for 1 month, watch a few shows, and say, that's not enough, I'll just go. Apple TV gives you a 1 week free trial. I know you get more if you buy new Apple equipment, maybe 3 months. But just going in there, cold, 1 week. And what you do here is you wait till the show is finished, because a lot of those are streaming one new episode a week. So you say, okay, the show has 8 episodes. You wait till they're all available. You take advantage of the 1 week offer, and you have that week to see all 8 episodes, and then make a decision if you want to continue the membership.
Yeah, that's been my philosophy for a lot of different media. You know, there was a time in my life when I used to play video games relatively frequently, not like these people who identify with gamer culture. That's never been really appealing to me. But I always used to wait until the new console comes out, then pick up the old console, and all the games are cheap. So, yeah, just the timing is everything, I guess.
Right now, the streaming world is very much changing, because Netflix has not been doing as well. And therefore, they're trying to do some reorganization. And you've got all these other services, Paramount Plus with all the Star Trek stuff, and Amazon Prime. And I expect to see all the Stargate stuff back on there soon, because Amazon bought MGM and therefore owns James Bond. And then you've got Disney Plus and Hulu, which is kind of sort of part of Disney. And you've got Peacock, which is NBC. And you've got, HBO Max. Which is what used to be Warner Brothers, or maybe still is, because it's Warner Discovery. The consolidation and changes in the industry can make you dizzy. But I also felt, after all this, is that at one time, joining up with video streaming services was a way to cut the cable cord. Cable's too expensive. Can't afford it. So instead, you take a few streaming services. And then your cable company, which may be your ISP, they say, well, you're using so much bandwidth, we'll charge you more. So you pay more for that. Then you pay a monthly fee for each of these extra services. And there's so many, you can't even begin to count them. There are so many. And suddenly you wake up and, my God, I'm going broke.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And I think it's reaching critical mass. You know, I think that at some point it's the streaming model is going to implode and we're going to go back to something that looks a lot more like bundling, like you used to see in the cable industry that people used to hate. But I think it's inevitably going to go there. Who knows?
Well, now on some of the cable boxes, and remember we're talking about the U.S. and the organization, the contracts is entirely different in other countries. But here in the U.S. is all I can talk about. And now on some of the cable set-top boxes, they include links or apps to other services. So if you're on Cox, which is a medium-sized cable company in the U.S. with outlets in, Nevada and Arizona, they have HBO Max, Netflix, Hulu, and even Peacock on the cable box. You just switch over on the cable box. Of course, what happens is you get a bill with extra services on it, but this way you don't need to go into multiple services. Unfortunately, it doesn't work very well because the apps, the way they run on those cable boxes, are dreadful.
The landscape is changing, that's for sure.
We need ET to have it fixed, all right? Because it's too much complicated out there.
That's true. And maybe get better reception by taking the antenna higher.
Well, I live in an area here where having an antenna doesn't work so well. I'm right at the fringe. And sometimes I can get decent reception from a digital antenna. And sometimes doesn't work. So I'm kind of stuck, got to get something basic with cable. And once again, I could take a streaming service, but then the cable company, which is also the ISP, will exact more money from me for the extra bandwidth. I mean, they'll make it from you no matter what. They're not going to get your Netflix money. Maybe they'll incorporate it in the set-top box and get a commission. Or they'll sell you more bandwidth, and they'll grab the money from you that way. Either way, they win, you lose. There's got to be a better way. Oh, I know an antenna, if it was possible to receive a good signal and get all free TV again. All over again, back to the beginning with Gene and Joshua and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA Radio News.
President Biden made his first live appearance virtually since he was diagnosed with COVID-19, participating in a meeting with his economic team on gas prices.
Let me start by apologizing for my voice. I'm feeling much better than I sound.
Mr. Biden has been isolating in the White House residence, and he and the people around him have been emphasizing the 79-year-old president is hard at work for the American people. A fast-moving wildfire near Yosemite National Park has erupted, prompting evacuations even as firefighters make progress against an earlier blaze that burned to the edge of giant sequoia trees. This is USA Radio News. The White House announced that the U.S. is sending an additional $270 million in security assistance to Ukraine, a package that will include additional medium-range rocket systems and tactical drones. Ukraine forces have used U.S.-made rocket launchers and tactical drones to destroy dozens of Russian targets and hold at bay Russia's larger and more heavily equipped forces. There has been several arrests for cryptocurrency fraud.
Federal prosecutors are announcing the first insider trading case involving cryptocurrency. U.S. prosecutors in New York City said Thursday that a former product manager for Coinbase and two others have been charged with wire fraud. A U.S. attorney in Manhattan said, "Fraud is fraud, whether it occurs on the blockchain or on Wall Street." From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
They'll say Gene's an old guy wishing for the past that never existed. I remember the TV reception with snow, so I know how bad it looked, how good it looks now, and also the price tag.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to continue too far down this rabbit hole that we're on the way down.
One of many rabbit holes.
I still have a VCR and a lot of stuff on VHS. I threw on Harry and the Hendersons for the boys the other day, and I was like, man, how did we ever watch this stuff? Like, you didn't realize it at the time, but, like, the picture quality on VHS was so atrocious by modern standards. It's just, it's almost mind-boggling that yeah, in some cases, I think, you know, it was a benefit to the medium because it sort of spackled over some of the shortcomings of visual effects and whatnot. But it is a different world nowadays with the clarity that we have.
Remember also the TV screen size was much smaller. If you're watching a 19 or 26-inch screen and you're watching the VCR, it's fine. There's no problem with it. But if you're watching something on a 40-inch, 42-inch, 50-inch TV, the quality is dreadful, and you see how bad the quality is at that size because you get used to watching those larger screens. So I understand about the VHS. My VHS is long gone, okay? In fact, my Blu-ray player is hardly ever used. That's sitting now in my office, and I haven't figured out what to do with it because we just watch what's on the regular TV set.
Well, the thing that bothers me is that when you don't own the media, it can be taken away from you. And, you know, we keep on seeing that with a lot of different streaming platforms for whatever reason, deciding to take down episodes or to, you know, to cut out parts of films and stuff. And it's like, well, you know, when you own that DVD, that's not changing, you know.
But then the format goes away.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point nowadays, though, where there are so many niche producers of things that I think that it'll... You can still find not only the format and the media, but you can also find the players as well. I mean, there are a lot of people who are releasing stuff on cassette, which I don't really understand, but they're releasing, like, you know, albums on cassette and stuff. It's sort of a retro kitschy thing, and it's cheap enough that they're able to do it, even if they, you know, have a garage band. So who knows?
Well, you could certainly make a CD. That's pretty cheap. You can also release vinyl. But you need a mastering place to make the vinyl acetate, and then you need, of course, a production plant. And they are working overtime.
That is very true.
Whatever is old is new again. I think people forget, though, the romanticism of vinyl. I understand it. And you have this big jacket, and you take out the record, and you wipe it clean, and you put it on the turntable, and you put the needle on one of the tracks, and you listen, and you play it over and over and over again, and you realize from the first play, it's kind of like taking a car, a brand new car, out of the showroom, and suddenly it loses 20% of its value. When you play vinyl, every time you play it, the sound quality gets worse and worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Billy Joel who said the good old days weren't always good and tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems. So there you have it.
Well, at least you can survive much longer that way. Well, let's look at tomorrow. Is there a message implicit in all this craziness with UFOs and channelers and contacts and all this other stuff?
I would say absolutely. And this is something that you see bear itself out in the follow-up interviews with people who have had all these sorts of experiences. And it is essentially the idea that one should die to death. And what I mean by that is that one should not be afraid of death, and one should not allow the fear of our lives ending to eclipse the work that's needed to be done here and the interactions and the life that we live. As evidence, I would cite that sentiment amongst NDE experiencers that bears itself out in the work of folks like Jeffrey and I believe it's Jody Long, who are two near-death experiencers. Bears itself out in a lot of the research that Ray Hernandez compiled for the free survey with a lot of experiences of different contact modalities, but with a focus on UFO contact. Certainly bears itself out in some of the psychedelic literature, and what I mean specifically to that degree is people who have started seeing a positive use for administering substances like psilocybin mushrooms to people who are terminally ill, and a lot of times the experience that they have will completely obliterate their fear of death. And I would argue that it's also likely this was the message that you see in a lot of these ancient mystery cults, like at Eleusis and whatnot, that the experience was to be so frightening and to sort of be almost like a near-death simulator, that it would sort of convince folks that they should not have this endearing fear of death.
It just makes me think, though, that, I mean, you talked about the beings of light who greet people on their deathbeds, that oftentimes people are so afraid when they're in the process of dying, but then when they start having these experiences as they get closer to death, it's like the weight's been lifted from them.
Yeah, I mean, it tends to reframe one's priorities, and this is not only borne out in terms of their own life and their own priorities, but in the way that they treat others as well. You know, it's sort of a minor motif amongst UFO experiencers, and it's a major motif amongst NDEers if they integrate it properly. You know, oftentimes there will be a period of depression following some of these experiences, especially in the case of NDEs, where they'll sort of feel separated from that wonderful experience that they had. But then typically they tend to come around to it, come around to the beauty of life here after a time, and they generally are marked by being more compassionate and being more giving, and you know, in addition to the suite of psi abilities which they receive, which again, it's something that you see after near-death experiences. You see it after, alien abductions, even though people don't like to talk about it, like poltergeist activity and precognition and healing are very common after some of these experiences.
You bring up something there which reminds me of the experience I cited that I was aware of involving a woman who had taken hashish, kind of a small dose or not very powerful dose, and she had an experience there, and maybe in a loose sense it was a near-death experience then.
Well, I mean, you know, that's sort of part of what the book gets at, is that, like, a lot, yes, the psychedelic experience is part and parcel with the near-death experience, because, you know, there's a great study that came out a couple of years ago, which I'm surprised hasn't made more waves than it has, but Mario Kitness and David Lukes released this study, and we've had a couple of people read it and say, and ask them, like, am I interpreting this right? Because the results are quite profound. It's that frequent psychonauts, people who take these substances on a frequent basis, do report things like levitation and precognition and RSPK, you know, psychokinesis associated with poltergeist phenomena, things like that, at a greater level, but when they are off of the substances, like when they're not high, basically, which sort of runs contrary to what we would assume, you know, people are hallucinating because they're taking substances. But the data seems to suggest that the gateways of perception and these abilities remain as after effects long, you know, days, weeks, months, maybe even years after having these experiences. And of course, that was what, you know, that was what the shamanic initiation is, right? It's just sort of opening those gateways as well. So, and you find it with people who were abducted to fairyland. Lots of times they'll return and they would become ministers, or they would become faith healers or something along those lines. It's a very common motif.
Complete change of their lives after undergoing one of these encounters. So interesting. We have one more segment to spend with our guest, Joshua Cutchin. He'll be back for After the Paracast for more discussions, more topics, because this is one of those things when you start talking about the mysteries of life, you never run out of the mysteries. It's far more complicated than just saying UFOs or spaceships, ghosts or ghosts, cryptids or whatever they are. More to come with Gene and Tim and Joshua. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So you think here that some of the experiences people have that they report might be, to some degree, preparing themselves for death?
Yeah, so this is a criticism that I'm already hearing about the books, and I completely empathize and sympathize, I guess, with it, is that Ecology of Souls, A New Mythology of Death and the Paranormal puts an awful lot of emphasis on that death thing, right? I think it's important to see that as sort of one's gateway when they read the book into understanding the crux of the matter, which is that it's really the souls part, not the death part of the title, that it really needs emphasizing. And to that extent, you know, the book is also as much about things like reincarnation as it is about death. It's about that, you know, the cycle of rebirth. And I think people have wondered for some time why the paranormal seems so obsessed with reproduction, I guess is the polite way to put it. And because you see this in certain cryptid encounters, you know, obviously the alien-human hybrid thing, phrase abducting people, rather, to sire offspring. And it seems possible to me that the reason that they're obsessed with birth is because they're obsessed with death. I mean, those two things are the different sides of the same coin. They're obsessed with reproduction because they're obsessed with death, which also means that they're obsessed with life and reincarnation and the revitalization of everything. You definitely see this in a lot of modern interpretations of the fae folk, which, while being tied to the dead, post-theosophy, post-late 19th century, became sort of stewards of the environment, nature elementals. You know, that's not really something that you see as strongly in a lot of the oldest fairy lore, but you see it after Blavatsky sort of started promoting those ideas, and Steiner was involved too. But there is this emphasis on cyclicality, and then again, if you take it from that angle, then some of these stories, which I initially was very hesitant to engage with, stories of reincarnation and alien abductions, past lives popping up, you know, in discussions with your alien handlers, or even memories of where you were before birth, pre-birth memories tied in with the alien abduction experience, it makes all those a little bit more understandable. It's a way to incorporate those instead of just throwing them out, which is what I think a lot of folks who are interested in the UFO topic tend to do.
Well, with contact experiences, it's very easy to throw them out because some of them sound so conventional that they do, like, sci-fi stories.
Yeah, it's something I've been fond of saying lately is that if someone comes up to me and tells me an alien abduction experience and it sounds like something you'd see on TV or in the movies, like I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. But when somebody says, you know, they do the exact same thing and they give me the same beat by beat, and then they end and they go, there was just one thing that was odd. One of the aliens was wearing an I Heart New York shirt, you know. It's like, okay, well, that's interesting to me because I love the high strangeness. The times that I have spoken with witnesses and experiencers who include those details, I have always found it all the more compelling because if I'm going to make up an alien abduction scenario, I'm not going to include, you know, an alien wearing an I Heart New York shirt. Or actually, from an actual example that happened down here in Georgia in the 70s, there was a flying saucer that landed in a cow pasture and the farmer was paralyzed and these beings floated out. And the entire time from the inside of the ship, the farmer could hear someone screaming, "I am Jimmy Hoffa," the entire time. It's just those little outliers and that dream logic and that nonsensicality that makes me go, okay, well, I don't know if this objectively happened the way this person is saying it did, but that's a detail that to me seems to suggest that they aren't completely fabricating it, because it would be an awful thing to fabricate. You know, I've said the same thing about Whitley's output after he stopped writing as many novels. His early works like Wolfen and The Hunger and Cat Magic and stuff like that are good, and they have a consistent tight narrative. And you know, his output since then has its own quirky charm, but it's not constructed in the way that I think someone would if they were completely fabricating the narrative, and that tends to reinforce the possibility that he was actually telling the truth in a lot of those stories.
Well, just putting that aside there, and you have to wonder here about all these crazy cases. And we had Kathleen Martin, an abduction researcher, on the Paracast a couple of weeks back with me and Tim, and there's something she mentioned previously on the show that was interesting. She said there's a fact or two about abductions they don't publicly mention, but when they talk to abductees, they use this as the fact, as Ray Palmer once said, things to make it seem as if these elements are real in terms of something genuinely happened to the experiencer. As I said, just a basis of information. And you think about that, and then you're telling me, of course, the thing that you look for is something just kind of out of left field. They were looking at something that's consistent among the abductions they feel are real. And again, yeah, it's not something people generally know, which means they just can't make it up.
I think if memory serves, I believe it was Bud Hopkins that did something similar. I don't know if it was or not, but it was either Hopkins or Jacobs. Would include a detail, and I think it might have been, as they were regressing people, they would say, and now tell me about the floor. Does it look like a hotel bar's parquet floor or something like that? An example that I do remember offhand is in the back of one of Jenny Randall's books, her book on Star Children. In the back, it has, like, you know, signs to tell if you are a star child. And she has stuff that she's discussed in the entire book. And, you know, I admire the hell out of Randall's. So I was like, well, why is she putting this in there? And one of the points that she says is, do the words Sobek Alp mean anything to you? I'm like, Sobek Alp, what does that mean? And I like wrote it down and I'm playing with it. And it's an anagram for placebo, you know, placebos. And I thought that was a really clever way to sort of separate the wheat from the chaff in terms of who might be sort of just trying to feel important, I guess.
Kind of a topic or set of topics we can never and ever reach the end of. But Joshua Cutchin will be back for the end for the Paracast Premium Show, where things we didn't talk about or didn't talk about in quite as much detail will be referred to. But Joshua, right now in full detail, will tell you listeners how we can find more of the things he's up to and what he has coming up.
Well, Ecology of Souls, New Mythology of Death and the Paranormal, Volumes 1 and 2 are available on Amazon in both print and ebook forms. You can find updates about all that at joshuacutchin.com, joshuacutchin.com. And I have a couple of appearances coming up. One I'm really excited about is the Midwest Conference on the Unknown, August 5th through 7th in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yes, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Strange place.
Yeah, it's a site of a UFO crash. So I'm just really excited about it. It's a real rogues gallery of people who have been past guests on the Paracast. And if you go to the website cape-events.com and use the promo code CI30, the number 30, you can receive 30% off ticket sales, and it's just going to be fantastic. The following weekend, I will be in Franklin Grove, Illinois. That's August 11th through 14th at the Worldwide Metaphysical Tribe Meetup. And we're going to do a CE5 and call down a UFO, and we're going to see whether or not my theory that I'm paranormal kryptonite holds true or not.
I know I'm paranormal kryptonite, I'll tell you that. Remember, of course, some of you listeners might be listening to this after those events, but maybe the following events would be something of interest to you. You can find us on Twitter. Yes, you can find us on Twitter. If you look for the Paracast, we don't use it very much other than show announcements. But if you interact with us, if you're not driving me completely crazy, I will respond. We're also on Facebook. We have a regular group. We have a Paracast fan club. Unfortunately, Facebook, in its infinite wisdom, does not let us put the URL for theparacast.com on Facebook. And the same is true, by the way, for Tim Swartz's site, conspiracyjournal.com. They don't want you to know the truth. We also have branded merchandise, by the way, at theparacast.shop. Once again, theparacast.shop, and we offer a number of very good logos, including the original Paracast logo, and we offer T-shirts. And in fact, rock stars are using some of those T-shirts, by the way. Can't tell you who they are yet, but we will shortly. Also, we have caps and throw pillows and all that good stuff, theparacast.shop. And don't forget the Paracast Plus. Don't forget it, because we offer a special subscription package. This show, free of the network ads. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast, where people like Joshua stay with us because we rope them in. We have a psychic rope that holds him in. And therefore, he will stay with us for further discussion, uncensored, unencumbered by terrestrial radio. To become a member, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. For quick sign-up, use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, and you get a 20% discount on lifetime or five-year memberships, theparacast.plus. Joshua Cutchin, again, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It was a lot of fun, Gene. Thanks. Thanks, Tim.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR.
EPR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.